So today, the fourth Sunday of Easter in the church calendar is known every year as Good Shepherd Sunday because we hear a story of Jesus calling himself the Good Shepherd and talking a little bit about himself as the shepherd. And this year, as with every other year on the fourth Sunday of Easter, we heard the words of the 23rd Psalm. Sheep and shepherds are everywhere throughout the scriptures. There's indeed the 23rd Psalm. There at the first Christmas were shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping over watch over their flock by night when the angel of the Lord appears to them to announce Jesus' birth. There is the parable of the shepherd who leaves the 99 sheep in order to go find the one lost. And then there's Jesus telling us today that he is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Now, despite the fact that sheep were everywhere in Scripture and are really important in our understanding of what the Bible has to tell us about Jesus, the thing is, I have realized lately, sheep aren't everywhere in our lives. And so sometimes the images, or what is meant by the images, can sometimes go over, well, at least my head. Maybe you have more familiarity with sheep than I've had, but my knowledge of them has come primarily from petting zoos and from preschool trips to the local farm. And what it means to have a flock is something I don't have a whole lot of firsthand experience with. So last year, I picked up this book called The Shepherd's Life, which was a newly published memoir by a man named James Reams, who lives in the Lake District of England and is in the business of good old-fashioned sheep farming in the way of old traditional English herders. And he is also a writer and felt that there just weren't enough memoirs out there about the process of sheep herding, and so he set out to write one. And it's really a fabulous book. If you're a reader, it's a fun book to read. You'll know far more about breeds of sheep than you ever wanted to when you're done, and how their wiry coats or fluffy coats can help them survive winters in the Lake District or not. But anyway, what I learned from Mr. Reams was about what good shepherds do. And what qualifies one to be a well-known, famous, highly respected shepherd in England? You know what the qualification primarily is? Producing good sheep. And so the really good shepherd really does get to know all of his or her sheep and knows which ewe you should mate with which ram in order to produce the best lamb, and which sheep you should sell to the slaughterhouse because really, you know, they will improve matters by becoming mutton or lamb chops. And which farmers are reputable and where you should go buy new sheep to replenish your herd or strengthen it or improve it. And when you go to farm shows, exactly how your sheep should be washed and groomed. And sometimes you can use a little coloring pencil in order to make the breed look especially like it's supposed to look. It's almost like dog shows. Well, so I had to reflect on that, because what would it be like if Jesus was a good shepherd and measured his goodness by producing good sheep? Would we get to stay in the flock? Or would we be sent off to become mutton? Whatever that might mean in an eternal sense. What qualifies us to be here? Is it our splendid characteristics of being Jesus' sheep? Maybe our impeccable thoughts about him? Our sure and certain faith? Our good deeds? No, said the Lutherans. We aren't saved by our good works. What would it mean if Jesus, as the Good Shepherd, was all about making sure we were the best herd possible? Or flock possible, I guess I should say. I had to have that thought hanging in my head for a while, and then have turned that over in my head from time to time, and then reviewed the words from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, which we just heard a while ago, and was relieved to discover that when Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd, he makes no reference whatsoever to the quality of sheep. "I'm the Good Shepherd," he says. Why? "Because I lay down my life for the sheep." The goodness of the shepherd and the goodness of the flock have everything to do with him and what he does and how he acts. And the amazing news that he indeed acts for us, laying down his life, going to the cross, being willing to self-sacrifice, being willing to forego any benefit to himself in order to keep us from danger. That's what goodness means from his perspective. And so when the scripture uses that metaphor of the Good Shepherd, I think it's somehow as though the scripture, what Jesus himself is trying to twist our ideas of what goodness actually mean on their head a little bit, so that we're always looking back at him and not thinking about ourselves or our own qualifications or our own characteristics that mean that we can take up our place in this thing called God's flock. Not that from time to time we don't try to think that it's all about us. In fact, sometimes that quality of faith, that gift of faith or belief, sometimes we think really is about us and about how well we're doing it. We say, Lutherans love to say, we are not saved by works, we are saved by grace through faith. And sometimes we have interpreted that to mean that we are saved by our own ability to believe. We are saved by our good thoughts about Jesus. We're saved by knowing him and knowing that we know. But that's not actually what faith is. Faith is rather just simply allowing oneself to be led by the shepherd. It's just looking at Jesus who lays down his life. If our membership in the flock was about the quality of our own faith, I certainly suspect, at least I know it would be true in my own life, that, maybe I should be sold somewhere else. Because, Lord help me, I can't always believe as I would like. And sometimes there are circumstances around me that make it very, very hard for me to have all the right thoughts and all the right feelings about God. Sometimes it's really hard to believe. Help, I believe, help my unbelief, a panicked father says somewhere in Scripture. In a way, that's faith right there. It's looking at Jesus and claiming, I can't do it. So help me. And you know what the amazing thing is? Is that it's right there at the place where we're most helpless. And it's right there at the place where we hardly know what it is that we can think anymore. And it's right there at the place where we are most in danger of wandering or going astray or getting lost, to use some other sheep metaphors from other places in Scripture. It's right there at that place when the wolf might be coming to steal all of our joy and all of our faith, as we sometimes think it is. It's right there that Jesus claims he lays down his life. Because Lord knows, he sees the wolf coming. He sees the danger. He sees the predicament that we're in. And it is right there that he claims he's going to show up. And so faith is not a good work that we accomplish in our heads. Faith is just about letting ourselves be led. It's about admitting that on our own, we have no qualifications to be in the flock, but that we do have a shepherd, and he will give anything for us to keep us close by his side. And eventually, he'll lead us through the dark valley to the green pastures and the still waters. Amen.